Channel One over, and beginning of the visit, Mr. Eastman, this Friday, the night morning, the 19th of April, 1974. Channel One over, this is Mammoth Israel, and beginning of the visit with Mr. Eastman, this Friday morning, the 19th of April, 1974. Channel One over, and beginning of the visit with Mr. Eastman, this Friday morning, the 19th of April, 1974. Channel One over, and beginning of the visit with Mr. Eastman, this Friday, the 19th of April, 1974. Channel One over, beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Friday morning, the 19th of April, 1974.
Eastman, did that other pump run all right?
Yes.
All right, this one here had a fuse blowed.
Out here?
Yeah. I had the glass of orange juice just before I come down here, so.
Huh?
I had a glass of orange juice just before I come down.
You mean you can't have another one?
No, I don't know if I need it.
Well, I'll get you one. Anyway, because you never know whether you need it or not. Just a small one, Mr. Eastman.
How far back do you have to eat, Mr. Eastman? How far back am I in paying you up?
Huh?
How much am I?
Well, I think you paid me up, didn't you?
I don't think I did.
God, I think so. I think you paid me up last time I was up here.
Johnny Palmer pay you? Did he pay you regular?
Pretty good, Johnny. Jesus, you know here. Oh, it's a couple of weeks, about 2 weeks ago. By Jesus, they pulled in the back right there and loaded down over $1,000 worth of that wire.
Don't tell me.
Yes, sir. And I was down there and put, I was going to make up an electric pole.
Yeah.
Well, I got the pole around there, and I put a roll of wire down on each end of it there to have to raise it up to work on, you know. And I went in the store to get the meter box, and Jesus, he didn't have one. And this was on a Saturday, you know, and the power company was closed, and they couldn't get up there to get one. So I said, well, we let it go till Monday. It was for a horse farm. And Monday I went down, and John says to me, did you take that pole off and them two rolls of wire? And I said, no. Well, my God, he said, look out there. And there the damn pole laid and them two rolls of wire was gone. And it looked to me, from what, you know, that you just, that there was half a dozen or more rolls of barbed wire that was gone too.
Yeah. And that's $20 a roll now.
Yeah. Well, geez, they tell me that some of them rolls of wire they took there was $50, $60.
Yeah, that,
you know, that
yeah.
5 and 6 foot stuff.
Fencing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say, he had a night watchman. Where was he?
Well, the thing of it is, he don't come until 10:30. And the guy, them fellows there, they know he don't come till 10:30, so they get in there just ahead of him. So John has fired the night watchman, and he's staying there. So John's staying in the store 24 hours a day.
Well, I'll bet you his disposition must be rosy.
I says, John, I told you that you'd ought to build a damn good big building out back here and then put that stuff in and lock it up. Now I says, there's $1,000 gone. I said, the time they get a couple more trips in here, your building will be gone.
That's the truth.
See, the price of your building will be gone.
That's the truth.
Anybody could drive
almighty
up there and take that stuff away.
Jesus, they do. John says, you know, it gives you, he told me this a while back when after they'd been stealing a lot of clothes in there. He says it gives you a funny feeling, he says, to sit here and see some of your clothes walk in the door, and you know they're yours, and he says you can't do nothing about it.
Let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, I telephoned down there, and I talked to Ms. Reynolds.
Yeah?
And along in there somewhere, I said, have you got plenty of help? The last time I was down there, Miss Palmer's there all by herself. She says, no. But he says, I ain't hiring for Mr. Palmer. But his night watchman left him.
She said his night watchman had left him?
Yes.
How long ago was this?
Just a week ago.
Huh?
A week ago, I talked to her.
Yeah?
How long's he been gone?
Well, about that.
But he didn't leave. He got fired.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't come, or what?
God, I don't know. He didn't get there until about 10:30, so John told me.
Yeah.
And he said they come just before that and run off with it.
Yeah. Well, they're fire.
Well, you know where John lives, over at Anthony. He's got, there must be... between an acre and 2 acres in that lot. And he's got it was built for a garage, but they don't use it for a garage anymore. And it's a storage place, see?
Mm-hmm.
And out there around that storage place, why, he had, I'll bet you a trailer load of that high fencing, you know, that roll there. Jesus, they heard a noise in the night, and he got right up. Jesus, and this pickup truck went out of there, and he had a half a dozen rolls of that stuff on. And John chased him, but by Jesus, the fellow turned his lights off, and he got away from John somewhere. And John couldn't catch him. You know, with the dust and one thing and another flying, and Jesus, he got away from John.
Hmm.
John said he had 6 or 8 or 10 rolls of that.
You mean that John chased? That's another one, John.
Yeah,
chased.
That was one over there to Anthony, see, over where he lived.
God Almighty! They don't get him at one place.
They
get
him
in
the other
one,
yeah.
Well, they just trying to.
And he's got so much stuff out back there, you know, that they ain't covered up or nothing. I'll bet you that they run off with a lot of stuff that John don't know about.
Well, he's so short-handed there a lot of times.
Yeah,
you know that boy, that big boy that worked there? Well, he kind of kept an eye on the yard.
Yeah.
And whenever anybody's back there.
He was just about useless. That boy was.
He got that way.
God, he wouldn't do nothing.
He got that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus, he wouldn't keep the pop bottles cleaned up, you know, or so that the fellas could pick them up or nothing. And this fellow that's there now, in with John, he's supposed to be buying the place off of John, see?
Mm-hmm.
But he can't get the money.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere. He can't get the money that John wants. And in the meantime, John keeps increasing his stock there, you know.
Yeah.
Boy, John's buying every damn thing that he can buy.
He don't want any cash money.
Why, Jesus, he's got the damnedest bunch of pipe out back there, you know. Well, God, they could run off with a bunch of that pipe, and that runs into money.
Fast. Oh, Lord, yes. Mr. Eastman, how's your new television?
Television?
Uh-huh.
Runs good.
You think it's worth the money?
The old lady says it is.
You don't listen to it much.
God, I'm not there like she is.
Yeah, she's there.
She runs that thing, you know, from morning till night.
Yeah.
Oh.
So she has to hear the telephone.
Yeah. Oh, give me a couple bucks coming up this morning.
Mr. Eastman, let me tell you, I always feel like I'm underpaying you.
No, Jesus, don't go making it too much now.
18th of like these cool nights?
No, I don't. The cool nights is all right, but I don't like to get up in the morning when it's down around 50.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you oughtn't to get up so early. Just get up in the middle of the morning after it warms up. Hi, it's our friends down there at the Trade Winds.
Down at the Trade Winds?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're doing about the same. I don't know. They don't seem to be doing anything with their waterworks down there.
Oh.
Same.
God damn them, I told them, by Jesus, if I go down to the Board of Health, now they'll just come up and lock you up. Well, we're going to do something right off. We're going to do it right off. And they ain't done a damn thing. You see, they're set right in that low spot.
Yeah. That's just about the lowest place, isn't it?
It is the lowest place in Orange Lake. And there's no place for drainage there, don't you know? What they'll have to do, they've got to buy a chunk of land somewhere for drainage, and then put in a damn good big pipe and a pump on it and pump that.
Oh, yes.
That's what they're going to have to do.
Well, they'll get into the money then, Mr.
Yeah, well, I know they will, but there ain't no other way out of it. And if I didn't think so much of Claude Barnard, I'd have him locked up before now.
Can you smell him?
Huh? Well, Jesus, they ain't got much money into it, you know. Claude's the ones holding the bag.
Is he?
Sure, they're paying him by the month, don't you see?
Oh. So they don't want to get too much.
You see, Claude's the one holding the bag, and if I go and say anything, Jesus, then Claude will be pinched.
Yeah.
See?
Oh, I see. So they don't even have the title.
No. They're buying it on a contract, don't you see?
Yeah. Just sort of working it out. Have they got good business?
Yeah, I guess they got pretty good business there.
Yeah. They all got a lot of friends. How's your club?
The club's coming good. But Jesus, we quit eating over there about 2 months ago. I wouldn't have more drink any of that water over there than I'd think of committing suicide.
Oh?
Yeah.
And I've told that to a lot of fellas that I thought maybe they'd go down there and tell the Board of Health. They haven't yet.
Well, are you still buying stuff up at that new hardware store?
Not anymore than I have to. Jesus, I went up there the other day, and I got a dozen half-inch by 3/16 stove bowls. They charged me 33 cents for 12. That's 2 cents and a half a piece, and then the tax on top of it.
Yeah.
That's high.
Huh?
That's high.
High? Why, Jesus, I ought to bought them for 10 cents.
That much?
Well, yeah. For them damn little bits of stove bolts, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know what they do, Mr. Eastman? They put them things up in a little piece of plastic like them fuses were out there.
Well, these wasn't. These was all loose in the box, see?
Yeah.
And if they hadn't, I tried to buy the box of them, see, 100 in the box. Jeez, he wanted $2.50 for the box.
Well, that, yeah.
See?
That's no reduction.
No. So I told him, Jesus, I'd take just what I needed.
Let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, you're going to have to, if you had a little supply down there of your own.
Well, that's what I always done up home there, you know. I always kept $7,000-$8,000 worth of material in there.
Mm.
The plumbing goods and the same way with electrical stuff.
Yeah.
What the hell did you do? Make that $5, holy Moses.
Well, I shortchanged you kind of on that other work you done up here.
No.
You didn't get much out of that.
You see,
if I'd take care of it myself, but let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, what I find is that see, I sit in that damn typewriter. You just don't realize what it does to you to work in a typewriter all the time. Then when you get out of that typewriter, you're addled.
Yeah.
And everything you touch, you bust it up, or it'll bust you.
Oh.
Now, you see, Johnny Palmer don't use a typewriter.
No.
He don't keep books. Who keeps his books?
Well, that Tessie Rowe. That, and then that Japanese girl there, she keeps them posted up every day, see? Well, then, generally, at the end of the week and the end of the month, Tessie Rowe is in there.
Oh, yes.
Of course, she's, she's one of the head ones down to the women's prison. I forget what they do call her. She's a manager or some damn thing down there. She has all of the buy-in and one thing and another for the institution.
Yeah. You know, Faye, that auction that you all had down there, they don't have that down there anymore.
Yeah, every other week.
Oh, I see.
Every other Saturday night.
They have it there, and on the other Saturday they have it up McIntosh.
No, they don't have any McIntosh. He's got that place up there in McIntosh where he sells every day out of it there, the antique and second-hand furniture store.
Oh.
But every 2 weeks on Saturday night they have that auction down to Orange Lake.
And they just haul stuff down there.
And then people bring it in there, sell it on consignment.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah. You don't sell him very much, do you?
I come there buying a bedroom suit down there last Saturday night.
A bedroom suit?
Yeah. And I don't need it. It ain't got no place for it. But, Jesus, it was a beautiful bedroom suit, and it only brought $70. And the damn thing ought to have brought pretty near $200.
All thing.
Well, you can't get springs for $70.
Hardly.
Had everything with it?
Yeah.
Bed and springs and...
Well, yes, and there was a damn nice dresser with a big mirror there about 3 foot square and a chest of drawers.
Good Lord.
Jesus, it was nice. And they had, a month before that, they sold two of them Davenports, you know, that you take the bottom of it and bring it up part way and it'll click and then it'll let down and the back lets down and makes a bed. Jesus, they only got $40 a piece for brand new ones.
Mm. Brand new ones?
Yeah, never been used.
Mm.
And be a week from... Week from tomorrow night, they're going to have a lot of new furniture in there to sell.
New furniture?
Yeah. Now, that's what he said.
Yeah.
That's what he said last Saturday night. In 2 weeks, they was going to put up a lot of good new furniture in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll have to build another room so you can put some more furniture
Jesus.
In.
Let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, you see this here?
Yeah.
This is the handiest thing, except this wore out when I got it. I got this from Kaiser's up there in town, and he bought a lot of that stuff, fire sales. And you know what I'd love to have is a regular office chair with arms on it.
Yeah. Well, Jesus, they're selling them all the while.
They don't sell them down there, do they?
No. No, but these office supplies.
You know what they cost, too, don't you?
Yeah, I know they cost a plenty.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if I went off and bought things like that, then when you come up here, I'd have to pay you by the month.
It's just that roller.
Yeah.
But he'd like
it. But it is handy. I'm telling you, it is handy. I mean, really. It's nice.
Yeah, well, I know.
I mean, they're comfortable, too.
I saw one or two down there several years ago. Down at this
yeah, yeah.
But they did. they weren't in too good a shape.
I walked through there during the week and see those things, and the price they've got on them is huge. But then you go to hear you tell it on the auction, you get all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But you don't get that if you just walk
through
there.
You know, last Saturday night, they sold two of these grease guns. You know, that's just, you put the grease in one part here, and then it's got the handle on, you squeeze it, you know what I mean. And big ones. I thought first, well, I'd taken and bid on it. Well, then, they kept on dumping other damn junk in with it, and I'd had a hell of a bunch of junk to go home, so I didn't buy it. And I didn't buy either one of them. And you know, yesterday I needed one the worst way, and I had to go down to Bob Becker's and borrow one to put grease in the water pump.
Oh. Well, now that's not like you use on an auto.
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing?
Yeah.
You don't have one?
No. I had two of them up home, but when I sold out up there, that stuff all went. I was going to keep one of them, see, and bring down here. Evelyn said, "Old Peter, that you left too much stuff to carry down there." So there's a number of articles that I let go that I would have liked to keep, don't you know?
Yeah.
But she bellyaches so about having so much junk to bring down here.
Well, you can't afford to make trips to borrow things.
No.
Time you make a trip or two, you bought it.
Yeah. Well, I went up there to Bob's last night and borrowed it. And when I was up there, and that damned old dog of his got pups again. The old son of a bitch, she come in there and she grabbed me right by the leg. Well, she pinched to beat hell, but she didn't, you know, make no marks or anything, but she just pinched pretty good. Well, then I went back up there and took it up, and I went in the front garage door up there, and you know, right on the left there, he's got that workbench in there where you keep tools and stuff on there, between the two doors. Went in there, and I stood there talking to that man Welsh that works there. You know, that goddamn old dog come in there, and she jumped. She grabbed me right there. Well, she didn't get enough. She just got that pocketbook, see? Well, if I hadn't had that pocketbook in there, gee, you know, she might have bitten me pretty good.
Sure.
That old bastard. Now, Bob's going to have to watch out, or he's going to get in trouble with that damn
Somebody's
dog.
Gonna sue.
Well, let me tell you, I went over to my neighbor's a time or two, and they had that German dog.
Yeah, them police dogs, yeah.
Yeah, and one time they had one, as long as you was looking at it, it wouldn't bother you. But you turn your head.
Yeah.
I mean, they go so fast you can't get out of that way.
Well, Jesus, that John Farmer's dog that time, you know. I started in the back door. I run my truck around the back, and I started in that back door. And I didn't know the dog was loose, see. And Jesus, I heard this noise, and just as I turned my head, the dog hit against the roll of that chicken wire. And it stood on end, and he knocked that over, and the next jump, but geez, he had me right by the arm and knocked me right through the door.
Why, Mr. Eastman?
Yeah, that's the only time I ever got really bit by a dog. Geez, you know, I had that jacket on, he tore the damn jacket on the arm here and got in there, and my arm bled pretty good. John said, geez, you go right to a doctor, he said, and get some tetanus shots, he says, for that. He says, and I'll pay for it. And Jesus, he did, too.
Well, I should say he did.
Yeah. And the damn dog, I went to Williston there and got tetanus shots over there to Doc McCoy. And Doc McCoy notified the Board of Health down there in Ocala. And by Jesus, they sent a man right up there to get that dog. Sure, and they got that dog and took it for 10 days.
They should have.
Huh?
They should have.
Yeah, so they took it for 10 days to see if he didn't have the rabies, and I guess they gave it some tests or something down there. At the end of 10 days, I got a notice from the health department that they'd had the dog and that the dog was all right. And if the dog had showed any sign of rabies, then I'd have had to took them damn rabies treatments.
And that's not any fun.
No.
As I understand it, it's a lot of trouble.
Why, the friend of mine up north, he had a cow. And all at once, or he had a bunch of cows, you know, but all at once this one cow got sick. And Dan went to give it some medicine. And the damn cow bit him.
Cow?
And Jesus, he went to the doctor and got it fixed up and told the doctor and about it. See, and the doctor says, you better get a veterinary up there and check that cow. Well, they got the veterinary up there and checked it. And the time the veterinary got there, the cow was down. And she was just a kicking and a horsing around there. And they tested her out and she had the rabies. See, some rabid fox or something that bit her or something. And, you know, she got it out in the lot there somewhere. And he had to take them rabies shots. And by Jesus, pretty near killed the old fella.
I know.
Oh, he was sicker than... Oh, get out.
Yeah. Well, now that's... And you know, after that, Mr. Eastman, when I went back over there, I just sat in the car. I rolled the window down just enough where I could talk out of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that cow, before she died, she'd roll up kind of on her feet. And she'd give a jump. She'd kind of roll up on her belly, you know, so that her feet wasn't under. And she'd just kind of rear right up and lunge. And Jesus said that she'd jump maybe 10 feet. Just like that.
Out of her head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all at once, she gave one of them lunges, and that was it.
Well... You don't have any animals at all down there.
Just a cat.
Well, that's your wife.
And they told this fellow over there, he said, when that cow dies, you just take it out there and build a damn big hole and fill it full of brush and papers and stuff. And then he said, you raise her head up with a bar, he said, and put a chain around her neck. You hook a tractor on, and you draw her down there right into that hole. Well, then you throw 15, 20 gallons of kerosene on top of her and around her there. He says, and touch a match to it. So that's what they're doing. They said, don't touch her with your hands. Be sure not to touch her.
Oh, you still get contaminated.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And they were so damned afraid they didn't even dare unhook the chain. They left the chain right around her neck and let it burn up.
I'd be scared too.
Yeah.
That's tricky for you. I don't want to.
No. No.
I don't want any experience like that. I had this, Mr. Eastman. I got two cows on the place now.
Was that all?
Mm-hmm. And one of them, that little runty steer, he was so runty I didn't bother to take him to the livestock market.
No.
And somewhere along the line, he started growing.
He started what?
He started growing.
Yeah.
Why, he's a big, handsome animal now. Looks like his daddy.
Yeah.
And his daddy was that pretty, last yeah. pretty bull I had yeah. out there. And I just think nobody could, looking at him when he was a calf, as he was just as runny as he could be,
yeah.
would ever know that he'd going to grow out of it like that. Did you ever see animals grow out of it like that?
Not too much.
He's even got personality.
Yeah.
And he didn't have any.
Yeah. I never hear people talk about it, but I've had a number of cases of that
yeah.
where they start out sort of spindly. Why, you see, the one thing, if he didn't gain weight, something like that, I could understand it. But he was narrow.
Yeah.
And that's one of the bad signs when you've got an animal that's thin.
Yeah.
If they can.
He's narrow like one of these wild boars.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Jesus, you know, when I first come to Florida, back in 1945, you'd be coming along down the road, and maybe there'd be a bunch of them. Maybe, I think I've seen 25 all right in one bunch, you know. The goddamn things would stand up that high, and
yeah.
6 feet long, and they're just about that narrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I never seen that.
And if one of them started across the road, you got to stop, because every damn one of them would go.
Yeah.
And the same way with the goats and cows. You see, then
you didn't
have to fence them in.
Yeah.
If you had something, a chunk of oats or corn or something, you didn't want them in there, you got to fence them out.
Yeah.
They just run anywhere they wanted to.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it ought to be now. That'd cut down the speed, right, Smart?
Yeah, well, I guess it would.
You think this 50-mile limit's going to last?
Jesus.
Mr. Eastman?
I don't think so. I think they'll get back up.
Yeah. Wait, how far up you think it ought to be?
Well, I think it was all right around 70 there.
You don't mind driving 70?
No, not when the road is clear. You get over on 75 right now, by God, and they're driving 70 right or straight along.
Yeah.
And they don't pay no attention to them. They just let them go.
Yeah.
And you start and go from here to Ocala, and you keep under the 55, and there'll be a half a dozen of them damn Japanese cars go by you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They tell how many miles to a gallon of gas they get driving 40 miles an hour. Well, who the devil drives one of them 40 miles an hour?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they get them going.
Yeah, they go to beat all.
Next season, is your car running pretty good?
Yeah. I had a funny thing happen a couple of weeks ago. Jesus, all the month that thing began making the damnedest noise. And I thought the damn muffler had a hole in it or something. And I got out and I looked and couldn't find the hole in the muffler. And then I discovered, Jesus, the motor was making a noise too and falling right out, see? Well, that was on a Sunday, and I figured, well, on Monday, Jesus, I'll take that damn garage and find out what's the matter with it. But Sunday night, all of a sudden, it came to me, what was the matter with that car? I had the same thing happen to the 56 Pontiac one time, and I was going to go to the garage with it, and the fellow laughed at me, and he says, you mean, he says, you don't know what's the matter with that car? And I said, no, I don't. Well, now he says, I'm going to tell you. Those Pontiac cars, they've got hydraulic valve lifters. And he said, if the oil gets thin or the least bit low, he said, they'll make that noise. And he said, you think the car is all going to the devil? So, Jesus.
That's the time to buy it, ain't it?
So, So I took it and drawed the oil off and filled it up with new oil before. And Jesus had quit, and everything was all right. And it come to me that week ago, Saturday or Sunday night, just what the trouble was of that. So, Jesus, I went right down and bought 6 quarts of oil. And I drawed the old oil off. And it had thinned up a little bit, see? And I took and filled it up with a new oil, and that was it.
Where do you buy your oil, Mr. Eastman?
Oh, I got that off in Johnny Palmer.
6 quarts at a time. Well, you don't buy a whole box of it.
Oh, carton?
Yeah.
No.
Well, that would seem save your trips.
Yeah. Well, I used to buy it with a carton up home, but geez, up there I got it wholesale, see?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got everything that I got up there was all wholesale, see? Now, geez, when you come to pay the long price for it, it kind of hurts.
Well, they'll sell it to you wholesale.
Well, some places, if you happen to be there, I see there's one place down in Ocala advertising case lots wholesale.
You don't, let's see, you don't have a kerosene heater.
Yeah.
Well, the man that sells you kerosene will bring you some of that. Who'd you buy from?
No. I get it off in the Standard Oil. But I asked him once about bringing me a case of lubricating oil, and he just iffed and hammed, and that was it.
Well, I get it from the fellow that used to have this station up here.
What, Miller?
Yeah. He works in the big plant down there.
Yeah. Well, he peddles kerosene too.
Yeah, that's what I buy. I buy kerosene from him, and when he comes up here, if I need any, I just tell him to bring me a case or two. And the case lasts me right about a while. I don't drive much. But do you ever do anything to your points and your plugs?
Well, yes. But my son-in-law, you know, he's an expert on that, and he's factory trained.
Yeah.
So I let him put the points in there and the condenser and spark plugs and stuff.
Well, but he hadn't been down here long.
Well, I know. But geez, you know, he went back up to New York. His sister died. And he went back up there a week ago last Saturday. Well, it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. He left our place at 11:30 on a Saturday night, and Monday morning at 2:00 in the morning they was up there, 1,300 miles. And they got up to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and they run into snow. And they had one devil of a time to getting on up through Binghamton up to Norwich. And the guy, he had to buy a set of snow tires to get around up there to go to his sister's funeral.
Huh.
Well, then they left, they stayed a week up there, and they left on up there Sunday noon, last Sunday noon, and about 4:00 Monday afternoon, they pulled in down to our place.
Yeah.
He's driving on them Oldsmobile 98s.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be the fastest car on the road.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Mm-hmm. But he doesn't work for Olds.
He did when he first came down here, you know. He worked down the Oldsmobile place down there, but he's the maintenance man down there to that National Hood.
What's that?
Well, they make them hoods to go over electric stoves and that stuff. And then they make them folding doors, you know, for clothes closets.
Oh.
Yeah, I got 20 of them down home. I'm going to put them around that damn garage of mine down there for siding on there. It seems they had a truckload of them going to Miami. And somewhere, some of them shifted on the truck, and they got scratched a little bit and damaged a little bit. And Jesus, they didn't know what the hell they were going to do with them. They tried to repaint them, you know, and the scratch would show through. So they were going to throw them in the dump. So Stu took them down to his place, and he got probably 50, 60 of them. And I brought 20 of them home.
Yeah.
In the back of the station wagon there.
Well, gee whiz.
I've had them a month or better. But God, I can't get no time to put them up.
You don't have any time for yourself?
No.
Well, now, but, but. But your truck out there you haven't had to do much maintenance on it.
No, I haven't done much of anything.
35,000 miles?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And you never changed the point?
About the only thing, I think I changed the plugs once in it. But about the only thing, Jesus, I had to put a new muffler on every once in a while. The muffler goes to hell in a hurry on it.
You do it?
No, or get Bob Becker down there.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, I think cars differ like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Now, you take that little Ford tractor I got out there. It didn't used to do that, but it does now. Why, it just eats up points.
Does it?
You just can't keep points on them.
Yeah.
On it.
Well, I went down and got this one inspected in March here. And the fellow says, you got to have a new muffler on there. Well, geez, I said, we had it on the grease rack just 2-3 days ago, and I said, I didn't see no hole in the muffler. Geez, he jumped up to me just like a little banny rooster, you know. He said, you mean to call me a goddamn liar when I just got out from under that truck? He said, and he was a swing his hands, you know.
Oh, really? At the station?
Yeah, down there at the Ocala. Geez, he jumped up to me. You know. So I went up to Bob's and by Jesus, you know, there was a rust spot on there, but we couldn't see no exhaust coming out of it or nothing. Couldn't see no damn hole in it.
Yeah.
But you'd got to do it or you couldn't get no inspection on it.
So you had to go back.
Yeah, so I had to put a new muffler, a new tailpipe on it, and I went back down there and I handed it. There's another fellow in the line this time, and I handed him the paper there. He looked under there, and God, he said, you went all out and put a new tailpipe on, too, huh? I said, yeah. All right, he said. He shoved the paper back up and went around there and come back down and had my sticker in it. Well, I got a kick out of that guy jumping up.
And flapping his wings.
Huh?
Flapping his arms.
Yeah. He said, means to call me a goddamn liar when I just got off one of that truck.
Well, but that's all that's given you any trouble about that that truck.
Yeah.
So you done pretty well when you got that truck.
I've had to put 4 or 5 mufflers on there.
I'd rather put a muffler on than take the head off the motor.
Yeah.
You buy it new, Mr. Eastman?
Huh?
You buy it new?
Yeah.
How much does your muffler cost, Don Bob Becker's?
Oh, the time they put it on, it costs you $18-$20.
Well, usually points and tuning the motor will cost you that much, too.
Yeah.
So you saved on that.
But Jesus, Bernie Goodrich and I were down to Ocala one day and got some paneling to put on in his house, and it was raining. Oh boy, it really poured. And you know, and the water stood right in puddles on the streets and there and one thing and another. And we started to come out Pine Street up there, and there was a low spot, and they had that water. I hit that water, and boy, it made the damnedest noise. And I got out of that water, and I didn't have no muffler.
Oh.
That water knocked the dang muffler right clean off in that car, or that truck. Well, I drove home without any muffler on, and boy, she'd bark to beat all. I stopped into Bob's and ordered a muffler, and Bob got it right off. And Jesus, that night, well, he put the new muffler on. And by the way, did you ever hear who invented the muffler?
No.
Well, you know, up in Syracuse, New York, they made the Franklin automobiles. It was an air-cooled car, so the air-cooled engine. And there was a fellow that they worked around up there. He had a little, sort of a little machine shop. And he had quite inventive genius. among the things that he invented was a roller bearing for automobiles or any kind of an engine. He made them not the roller bearing, not the ball bearings, the roller bearings. Well, then he made the chain for bicycles with that roller link in it. Well, then he made the first muffler for automobiles. And put on them Franklin automobiles, and they were the first automobile.
I remember the Franklin automobile.
Yeah, they were the first car that ever
had. They had some sort of steering.
Huh? They made them in Syracuse.
Yeah.
And this fellow's name was Snow, and he was a cousin to my father-in-law.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah. That's how I come to know so much about it. But. Well, then they come out and they started making airplanes, and he had an airplane all made right in his backyard, and he didn't have it tied down. And they come up one of these damn big winds, and Jesus, it took the damn thing right over the top of his house and smashed it all to the devil. So then he had all of his money tied up in that, and by Jesus, he went busted over that, and he took on about it by God, and he didn't live too long after that.
Oh, you mean it worried him?
Yeah.
Yeah. That burn.
But he had that airplane all ready to fly. And they was going to take it apart and take it over to some place where they could fly it. By Jesus, that wind flew it.
Yeah. Miss Eastman, how you keep from... You see, the only thing that protects us in here is we don't have any high winds.
I know.
With all these...
Do you know why? They tell me that them big trees over there in the old Cala forest have a bearing on turning the air currents so that we don't get them through here.
Oh. I hadn't thought of that.
It has a resistance against them air currents.
Yeah.
And you know, someday in the near future, the people are going to realize
they need trees.
That they've spent and wasted so damn much money flying to the moon when they could have spent that money regulating the weather. Now, one of these days, they're going to have big fans and big heaters that's going to regulate the air currents, and they're going to regulate the weather. And in that way, they'll stop all of these damn tornadoes and things that have been killing all of these people. And then them damn scientists that think they know so much, they're going to feel that they've made one big mistake.
Yeah. Well, they feel pretty well satisfied with themselves, don't you reckon?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have accomplished a lot, but what does it amount to? Putting a man on the moon.
Yeah.
Jesus, my old man always used to figure on planting his potatoes in a certain time of the moon.
Yeah.
I said, hell, it don't make any difference to me what time of the moon it is. I ain't going to get up there to harvest them.
You tell him that? What'd he say?
Well, he didn't like it. He was one of them fellows that believed that you've got to... Just a certain day, you got to plant certain stuff if you got any crop at all.
Yeah. You know, they still have people like that.
Yeah.
They plant by the almanac. But sometimes, Mr. Eastman, they get mixed up on the almanac. They think they got this year's and they got last year's.
Yeah, something.
Let me tell you, you know, I raised a little small crop of sweet potatoes last year.
Yeah.
Did I ever show you the potatoes? I never showed you any of those potatoes?
No.
Well, let me tell you.
Oh, was they all scabby?
Yeah. And they didn't have any potatoes.
They didn't?
No.
Beautiful vines.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got the wrong year. We planted by the almanac, but it was the wrong year.
You don't do much gardening, Mr. Eastman.
Huh?
You don't do much gardening?
Not now. I did when I first got the place, but I set it out in the orange trees.
Yeah. Well, you've got a lot
but
of
you
trees.
Know, you talk about sweet potatoes. I dug sweet potatoes where that restaurant sits.
Yeah? Oh, did you?
Yes, sir. There wasn't nothing up through there.
Oh, when you first came down?
That's all gone in since you came. Both sides?
No, the other side of the road, there was a hotel in there, the old honeymoon hotel in there. That burned up, you know. And then there wasn't nothing on that side there. If you get way up to where that junkyard is.
Yeah.
There was a house up in there, and then there was a little red house set out by the road. And this cement block house was in back. And then up just beyond that, there was another cement block house that's still there. And there wasn't another thing on that side of the road. And where the J.O. Cabins is, Joe Olson bought an acre of land in there for $75.
Yeah.
And I helped him build that house on it.
That's
the house that they lived in.
That's a nice house, Miss
Eason. Yeah, well, then when the damn wind blowed that tree into it and smashed it down to the ground, I built it the second time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And on this other side, the side of the road that I'm on, you see, Opal there, she had a trailer court in there. Well, then there was one little cabin that sat down there that'd be right square in the middle of the southbound highway right now. Well, then I built a cabin up just beyond this for her, and I moved it now up there. Bob Becker bought it, and I moved it up the road there. And then, well, Opal had that in there, and then there was her mother's place. Well, then there was another place there that Miss Pigpen lived in.
Miss who?
Pigpen. Thigpen, I guess they call it. T-H-I-G-P-E-N. Pigpen. Well, then there was a spot there that there wasn't anything. There was just a vacant lots up in there. Well, then that Hargett's place there, there was one house in there, and that you was Ma Jackson's mother's people that lived there. And their name was Corning. And Ma Jackson sold that house to a fellow by the name of Longfellow. Well, he took the house there, and I helped him put some cupboards or some shelves in one of the front rooms, and he stocked it up with a few groceries in there and called it a grocery store. And he turned it. Well, he paid $1,500 for that 10 acres in there with that house on it. Well, then he took and sold it to this Johnson, Clifford Johnson, as a store in there, see? Well, he had a store like it in there. And I helped him build a trailer court up there, and we run a road right around just like a damn big horseshoe like that, see? And made places to put these trailers all back in there like that, and we had an electric line run right around there so they could get electricity off of it. But in them days, trailers didn't have any indoor toilets, you know, and they had just a big outhouse out back there where everybody had to go. And then that's been sold a number of times, you know, and somebody would do a little bit more to it, and then they jumped the price to beat hell. And that's the way it's got up to where it is now.
Mm-hmm. So it's way up there now.
Well, then this other place is in between here. A fellow by the name of Miller. Yeah, I think his name was Miller. I know it was. He bought that, and he had it surveyed. And the surveyors come on there, and they jumped the damn survey line over here about 10 feet onto this Pigpen property up through there. And old Miller from West Virginia come in down there, and their septic tank was in that 10 feet. And they had a big pine tree there that was dead, and they were cutting that up for wood. Old Miller come down and he forbid them cutting any more on that tree, and that they'd got to move their septic tank. And why, well, had that poor old widow woman just about nuts. there was a bunch of us out there one day looking at it, looking the line over, because they'd had so much trouble over it, one thing or another. And along come old Uncle John Burry. And he had owned about all the land around there, you know, and sold it off one thing or another. And he come along there and he stopped, had an old Model T Roadster. And he stopped and wondered what the trouble was. And we told him, and geez, he got out of that car, come over there and he looked around. Now he said, right here somewhere is the corner. And he scuffed his foot around there and couldn't find it. God, he said, if I had a shovel, I said, I know I could find it. I says, I'll get you a shovel. And I run back over to Opal and got a shovel and went back over there. And sure enough, by God, within about a foot of where he said that post was, there was a cement post in the ground there. Now, he says, you walk right up there, he says, and you watch where I tell you, he says, and you go till I tell you to stop. And he says, there's another post up there. So I walked up there. He used to tell me a little bit this way and a little bit that way and one thing and another there. And all at once, he says, stop. Oh, I stopped and I started digging, and by God, within 6 feet of where he stopped me, there was the other one. Now he says, them are the posts and that's the line. He said, I've owned that land, he said, and I know. Now he said, when Mr. Miller comes back, he says, you just show him them and you tell him them are the line. That's the line right there, not over here, it's right there. And he says, I'm going to see to it that it stays there. Now he says, they ain't going to cheat that poor old widow woman out of 10 feet of ground. He says, they're going to stay right there. By Jesus, they did, too.
They give it up. They let it go.
Now, you take it right now, right down here in McIntosh. The fellow bought that Cockrell place. And he'd had some different surveyors come in there, and they checked over there, and then they jumped the damn line over about 10 feet on poor old Hattie Neal.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yeah, they jumped the line over there and about 10 feet on Hattie Neal and took in some of her orange trees and one thing and another. They got the poor old maid just about nuts, and he's built a damn good big fence right down through there. Well, now, if I lived down in McIntosh, but Jesus, that wouldn't come off.
Of all things.
Now, that old bastard there, he's a moneyed man. He's a architect come down here from up in New Jersey. And he got a lot of money, I guess. He's supposed to be retired, but he's working now on some project down in Ocala on one of them... can't think what I want to say there. It's one of them places where they bought that land and dividing it off in building lots and what are the subdivisions. They're working on one of them down there for them fellas down there. They're putting in that subdivision and they're having trouble with the city over their sewage and their roads and one thing and another there. And I don't know whether they'll ever get it straightened out or not, but his name is Dewberry. And she jumped into McIntosh down there trying to tell him how to run the Presbyterian Church, and that ain't setting. You know, the people resent somebody coming in from outside and coming into the church there and telling them they ain't running it right. They got to do this and do that and do the other.
Well, they bought Cockrell out down there.
Yeah.
Cockrell's down there in Ocala now running the subdivision business.
I don't know what he is doing.
Oh, I thought you said it's Dewberry
doing
that.
No, Dewberry is the one that's doing that.
Yeah.
He's architect for him down there on some subdivision. Well, I think that Cockrell went back to Miami. Cockrell is the main one to getting that Hi-Li in down there, you know.
Oh, was he?
Sure, he owned that land down there, and he sold it to them fellas for a damn big price. With the understanding that he'd help him get a highlight in there, see?
Mm-hmm.
The it hadn't been for him, that highlight wouldn't been there.
Yeah. So?
Did you hear that fellow from the SLA talking on the television this morning?
No, what'd he say?
From Washington, D.C.?
No.
He was telling them about this Hearst deal. And there's a lot more to it than what's been told.
What?
Well, they pulled off that robbery, you know, there in San Francisco, and they put her into it because she had told her folks that she was going to join them, you know, and one thing or another. When you get right down to it, that's a hell of a big organization.
Oh, it is.
Sure, and they're organized in 29 different states.
Oh.
And when they get around, but you know, there's a lot of their points that's good.
Such as?
Well, geez, they're going to make these high-salaried fellows there, they're all going to be cut down. And all of that extra money is going in to pay the national debt. And you take these congressmen there, they ain't going to get $100 or $2,000 a year. Geez, they're going to get $20,000 a year. They're going to cut right down, and that money's all going in to pay the national debt.
Oh.
And they say that when they cut down on that, and you take this president of General Motors, you know how much he got last year?
I hate to think.
$832,000. Well, you know, when they cut them down to $20,000, that money is all going back into the poor people, don't you see?
Mm-hmm. It's right costly having them fellas around, ain't it?
And you take this income tax. You cut that all right out, and these people that's working for the IRS, there's so many of them that's getting damn big salaries. They're taking and taking cut that all right out, and it wouldn't cost the people anything.
Yeah.
Well, they've got a lot of.
Yeah.
And they say that this gambling is going to quit. The gambling is taking the money all away from the poor people.
Well, now I heard Johnny Palmer say that these fellas that go to this highlight can't pay their bills.
No.
Can't come over there and pay what they owe him.
No. They hollered, you know, they wanted to build a recreation building down in Ocala, and it was going to cost, I think, about $1.5 million. Well, the county claimed that they couldn't raise the money to build it. But at the same time, they'd give that damned highlight $15 million to take out of the community. See, and instead of they building a recreation hall down there, it cost $1.5 million. They turn around and give them damn highlight fellas $15 million that they claimed that they took out of here last year.
Oh, I see.
Sure.
Yeah.
And now this coming year, they're figuring on taking $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you take all of that, you see how it helped them poor people. And them poor goddamn niggers.
Yeah.
They go down there, by Jesus, and they spend their last dollar, whether they got anything to eat the next day or not.
Yeah. That's what somebody told me, that 9 out of 10 of them down there were niggers.
Yeah.
Well, they don't care, just as long
they don't care what color they are, as long as they leave their money. That's all they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turned around to Jesus and sent the fellows around to get them to sign up for a liquor license, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There were two fellows coming to my place. And they started in, they was all smiles and one thing and another, you know. I says, mister, let me tell you something. There's a road that goes right down there, and the quicker, by God, you get into it and get gone, the better I'm going to be satisfied.
Oh, don't
you
tell
told
me.
Him that.
That's even, let me
and
tell
good
you.
Good for you.
Hmm? How's East Marion Market getting along?
How's what?
East Marion Market.
The North Marion Market?
North Marion Market. I always call that.
That I don't know. I guess they're all right. I don't know. I see one of Freddie's oldest boys, I think it's the second one, come in down there to the store, that Thriftway store, night before last. I was over there and got some milk. And they was in there buying sandwiches and milk. There was four fellas, four of them, and one of them was, I think it was Freddie's young second boy, was in the bunch.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, what about Freddie himself, Bartell?
Well, I don't know. I don't hear anything right lately, whether he's got that woman living with her or what there is to it.
Well, now, that's going to be kind of embarrassing down there, isn't it?
I would think so. I see a fellow in the store there one day taking inventory, and I had an idea that there's probably somebody on
not
her
enough.
Side that was getting an inventory to see how much she could get out of it.
Well, now, she owns that store as much as he does, doesn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
Well, why don't she just stay there and take care of her part of the store and let him take care of
it? I don't know. I heard, now I'll put it this way, I heard that he asked her to come back and they'd call bygones and bygones, and she told him nothing doing.
Oh, really?
Now that's what I heard.
Oh, she's the independent one.
Yeah.
Miss Eastman, let me tell you, before you go home, Faye... How much trouble would it be to run a little line from that switch over there to that television?
Oh.
And take it off of that...
Well, it wouldn't be too much.
Yeah.
It'd be safer, Mr. Eastman.
Huh?
Wouldn't it be better?
I think so.
Because we're sort of scared. Those wires over there are bad.
You got time for dinner?
I guess so.
Okay.
Ask him about the shield.
Oh, you don't have to ask him about the shield. Faye, just get one put on.
Sound one over, around 1500 and 1600, and the end of the visit, Mr. Eastman, this Friday morning, the 19th of April, 74. Channel 1 right, and beginning of visit. Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over, around 1500, 1600, and the end of visit, Mr. Eastman, this Friday morning, the 19th of April, 74. Channel 1 over, around 1500, 1600, and the end of the visit, Mr. Eastman, is something. This Friday morning, the 19th of April, 74.